For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, it is the home team. Tyler Head and Jeff Dantzler, along with Arkansas, Boston College, Florida State, Ole Miss, and, of course, Missouri as well.
Yeah.
How do you rank these jobs in order of appeal?
Florida State or Washington's number one?
Washington, at least for now, has the I think it's the D.C. sliding as their head coach. And we don't know if that's going to be long-term or not, for the time being, at least.
Chris Peterson's excellent. I wouldn't. Let me, you know what I would do if I was Washington?
Uh-huh.
Basically what Florida should have done with Urban Meyer. Listen, coach, I understand you're tired. You need to recharge your batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this for a while. Why don't we take a leave of absence for a year?
Mm-hmm.
And you go fishing on Lake Washington. You go play golf. Mm-hmm. You and your son and your wife. You go do whatever it is. You
know, yeah.
And let's talk again next October.
Okay.
And you have your the D.C., who is going to be the acting head coach,
yep.
You have him in there. Because every one of these guys, when they get away from it for a few months,
they miss it.
And Chris Peterson's only 55.
Yeah.
That would be my advice to Washington. There's a great story. I'm totally tangenting on you here. But I was there was a great piece on Lombardi, I believe, that HBO did. And when he stepped away, he was so exhausted. When they had won the first Super Bowl, then they beat the Cowboys in the Ice Bowl,
yep,
and got to Super Bowl II and won that. At that point, the Super Bowl was just, especially that second, was kind of the cherry on top. They were the first team that had won three straight NFL championships.
Yes.
So they won the NFL championship, then beat mm-hmm. the AFL championship to win the Super Bowl. And he was just exhausted, just
yes.
building for this goal.
Right.
And they had accomplishment. He had his own booth at Lambeau to watch the team the next year.
Mm-hmm.
They said by October they had to make the thing soundproof.
Really?
The year after that, he was back coaching the Washington Redskins.
Wow.
And then he died of cancer the next year. But and Washington had a very good year.
Right.
But it's one of those deals the Packers should have probably said, like, okay, I know you say you're retiring. Let's tell you what. Why don't we make you the head coach emeritus?
Yeah.
We're going to let our top assistant coach the team this year with the understanding that if you decide to come back – and there might be a lot of folks who would say, well, you can't do that move. It's like, well, you know what? For some people, you can.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to step back and take a different approach and do things a different way to be successful. That being said, big picture, I would probably say, I don't know, is Washington or Florida State, Washington's probably a slightly better job. By the way, they are putting together – three of the top 10 players in the country for the next recruiting class, not this class, but the next one, mm-hmm. are from the state of Washington, and
yep.
they are leading on all three.
Right.
I would say Washington 1, Florida State 2, huge gap after this. Florida, there's so many athletes in Florida.
Right.
You can get
right.
well quick.
And again, you're not, as opposed to these jobs open in the SEC, you're really at that point only trying to get to compete with Clemson.
And they're in your division.
They're in your division. Whatever. Right, right.
Sometimes that can make it easier. You're playing against this. All right, this is a direct measuring stick here.
Yes.
So I would say those two. I think Missouri's a better job than Arkansas is.
Okay. And that was honestly kind of a surprising firing.
It was. Something was going kind of an undercurrent there, I felt like, because after they lost that first game, Missouri had gotten real hot. They got
yep.
in the rankings. They had won
well, they
five
were
in a
unstoppable
row.
At home for a while.
And then well, everything went south, and they just they got in the stretch. They just couldn't score. And I'm just guessing it had something to do with Kelly Bryant.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Because you've got to think, too. Everybody thinks, like, oh, this grad, he's going to come in here and be the savior. But you've got other players who've been around. And then remember how odd it was the week here? Oh, yeah, he's going to play. Barry Odom says, yeah, he's going to play.
And at the 11th hour, never mind.
Like, well, I don't know. We'll see. And then, you know, you're getting these reports the day of the game from
yep.
third parties, and he wound up not playing. He did come back and play some. But There was something else going on there. Missouri's better than Arkansas. I honestly think because of the division they're in, if I were offered the two, I love Oxford, Mississippi.
Yeah.
I would take Ole Miss over Missouri because I think Oxford's such a special place.
Right.
But you're right in between Alabama, Auburn, and LSU.
Yep.
And so I think because of that, I think Missouri is probably a little bit more attractive job. And then I'd say Ole Miss would be four. That would be, if I had to rank you the top four, that's the order I'd go.
And, yeah, you know, obviously we go back to what happened at the Egg Bowl last week and the situation that went down with Elijah Moore, and that was probably kind of the last straw to push Matt Luke out there. But he has done a decent job of at least building a foundation at Ole Miss. And obviously they got a long way to go to get back to credibility, but it's not like they're in the dumpster like Arkansas has been.
I completely agree with you there. And I think another thing, my buddy JP, we were having our weekly lunch meeting today. And a thing with Ole Miss, they didn't have a good record, but you know what? They brought in Mike McIntyre and Rich Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing some exciting things on offense. So there were reasons to be optimistic,
yep,
for people to get excited,
right,
about the team. I honestly think even if they lose the game, you know, the leg lifting thing, because that's the other thing. That had been done the last 2 years.
Yep.
It gets penalized.
Yep.
So if I'm an Ole Miss fan, you know, looking from afar, you're always tougher on your own team, your own program.
Yep.
I think most people think it's kind of a mistake. They think Ole Miss has got something good going. But I'm going to tell you this. If, and again, the same scenario, if we had guys do stupid stuff like that and then it happens and that costs us a Tech game, I would be out for blood.
Yeah.
And I would think for Ole Miss fans – but I do not get that. Just it's undisciplined football team.
Yep.
We are. You cost us the Mississippi State game.
Mm-hmm.
We're done with you. I honestly think if that doesn't happen, let's say they kick the PAT, even if they lose in overtime, I think Matt Luke's still the coach. But the fact that those antics have gone on, they had gotten penalized before, and it happened again, I think that's why they made the move. But there are some good pieces there.
Yeah,
at
for
Oxford.
Sure. Hey, John Rhys-Plumlee. You know,
yeah,
and again, he wasn't in the end of the Egg Bowl. He was staying on the sidelines. They had Coral in the game there, but he has shown some promise against teams like Alabama this year. He had a pretty good performance. You know,
yeah,
it just kind of makes you wonder, like, if only, yep, we'd been able to hang on to him.
Yeah, yep. So that's the way I'd go with it there. You know, Boston College, that's potentially a good job there, but it's just the ACC right now, they are going through a hard time. Hard time.
Yeah. And again, that's not Clemson's fault, but that's just kind of the nature of
the
league
they
play in.
AFC East.
Yeah.
You got the Patriots, and I know Buffalo's good this year, but for the most part, and I was laying in bed a couple of years ago, and it was the middle of summer, about 7:30 in the morning. I flipped on, the TV had been on NBC Sports the night before. I don't know, mm-hmm, might have been watching a hockey playoff.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows? I say middle of summer, might have been June. Point being, so I flip it on. They had Mike Florio and Peter King were on, and they had come out. Vegas had done the odds of making the Super Bowl out of the AFC that year.
Yeah.
New England was the pick.
Of course.
14, 15, and 16, in whatever order it was Buffalo, Jets, Dolphins.
Yeah.
You got the best team with the three worst teams. And that's the other thing with what Clemson's doing. It's just happened when the ACC has gone through a downstretch. And listen, Florida State's going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Miami will be good again.
I think
at some point. North Carolina, Mac Brown, you can look at futures recruiting.
Yeah.
That North Carolina is going to start getting players again. But right now, it's bad. It is really, really bad.
Right. Let's see, is actually going to be a perfect transition to my next question. Team, now that we've gotten to the end of the regular season, what are some teams that really surprised you with their performance this season?
I think the way it started for Tennessee, mm-hmm, the way that they came on and went 7-5, because that first game, that's the thing, that wasn't a fluke title. Georgia State outplayed them.
They did, yeah.
I mean,
the entire game, four quarters.
No two ways about it. I mean,
nope,
they flat out outplayed them. So I would think Tennessee would be – are we just talking positive surprises,
yeah,
here?
Yeah, positive surprises.
Certainly what Minnesota did, even though I was high on the Gophers,
yeah,
before that. I know that was a heartbreaking loss for them to be in that spot, but still to go 10-2.
And from where they've been just a couple years ago to be where they're at now, that's huge.
For sure.
And P.J. Fleck's a great coach. I think he's going to be able to keep them – up in high places.
I agree. And remember, we watched them in their last game last year.
Yes, we did.
Do you remember that?
The Quick Lane Bowl against Tech.
That's
the day after Christmas.
And I remember watching that. We were in here, and a couple of the talking heads, and one of the guys, you know, Minnesota's got 16 starters. I thought, they look good. They got 16. I'm like, okay.
Something to look at.
Okay, yeah. So Minnesota would certainly be right up at the top of the list. Baylor, 11-1.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody see that?
And I know we asked you about this yesterday. What was the vibe down in Waco yesterday about the football team?
They're pretty excited. And by the way, I got to say, and even though there was an incident, the folks there were so incredibly nice. It was borderline like Notre Dame fans. Hey, welcome to Baylor.
Yeah.
It was. I was beyond impressed with that campus and with their people. I'd love to go back there for another. I'd love to go back for baseball or basketball.
I say Georgia's a brand they don't really cross paths with that often.
We're having lunch at a place called Georgia's yesterday. My dad drove down from Dallas. He, the great Trey Littlefield, and myself. There's a guy in the restaurant with a Georgia hat on.
Really?
He had moved there from Commerce 10 years ago.
Wow.
It is just the Georgia, that G.
I know you mentioned
scope of it.
In the post game last night, there was a pretty good contingent of fans at the game.
Yeah, we took a couple of dozen out there, and it was great to see. Waco, it's a 2-hour drive from Dallas, so easy to fly into. So yeah, we had a really good contingent there. It was one of those deals. I was kind of dreading the trip, but for other reasons, I was glad to get away. It's hard to be home in our apartment right now, but.
Right.
It was one of those. I really enjoyed the trip, and we ate lunch. So if we ever go out there for baseball, Dave and I are gonna be all over this place. This place called George's.
Okay.
I asked at the hotel. They had a Hotel Indigo there, and said, "All right, where's a good local joint?"
Yes.
And by the way, my mom's hoping I see Chip and Joanne out there.
Right.
And I asked my Uber driver. I go, "Hey, what's the construction?" "Oh, it's because of Chip and Joanna. They're doing this big project." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, whatever."
They just own the whole city,
right? They have put Baylor on the map for good reasons, because they're on the map for some Waco for some bad things, that's for sure. So we go to this place. It's called George's. And literally on the menu, I went with the classic 1 and 3. Like, I got blackened chicken over rice with broccoli and rice casserole and corn and some green beans. And then my dad went with this enormous chicken fried steak and the sides. And my buddy Trey Littlefield, he got the fajitas. So this place, it had pasta, it had the 1 and 3s.
Yeah.
It had burgers, it had Mexican food, just anything you wanted.
Right.
And it is so, anyway, so when we got to the game, "Are you enjoying your trip?" I go, "Yeah, we went to Jordan." "Oh, yeah, that's the best place." But anyway, so my buddy Trey had the best line of the day when he opens up the menu and it said, "Voted Waco's best country fried steak 15 years in a row."
Oh,
that was kind of like a food version of "You had me at hello."
I was going to say, I can't not eat it now.
That's right. So "You had me at voted best country fried steak 15 years in a row." So
that's fantastic.
We really did have a good trip. It was it was nice to get there. So Dave was with the baseball team out there in 2010, it is one of those cities. It's grown up some, so I loved it. That'd be one of those scenes if we could play them a home-and-home in baseball or men's or women's hoops, because this was part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. It was a late addition to the schedule, because they do try to not have the men and women play on the same day, which is great. But this was one of those late additions there. But no, two thumbs up to Waco for sure.
Right.
And they did there was an incident, but they stepped up and did a first class job last night. We were instructed, the coaches and the radio crew, on where to park by three different parking attendants.
Okay.
Walked us to where to park. And it was a long way from the arena.
Yeah.
We come out, both cars gone.
Oh, no.
Towed.
Yikes.
So we go in there like, "Oh my God, we're so sorry." So one of the cars, Joni and Chelsea Newton, were going recruiting, and the other car was my dad's.
Oh,
the radio spotter last night.
Yeah.
So they go like, "We're so sorry." So they get the cars. Well, during the tow job, my dad, it was one of those plastic Pino cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I guess it goes, "Oh, my car sounds terrible." So they put him up in the Hilton. I took his car to the Toyota dealership. And
that's amazing.
Got it fixed. And so it was like it was their mistake.
Yeah.
But they stepped up.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, they did. And that's again, great. It was one of those, I think, any school, you might would have had to pay for it, then send them a bill. They're like, no, we got this. So it was one of those deals. We had a great trip. There was an unfortunate situation at the end, but they took care of it and did it first class.
That's
so
phenomenal.
Baylor is two thumbs up in my book. And plus, I know you and Dave were talking about it yesterday. I took a great picture of Trey by that big giant bear. Did he show you that photo?
He didn't show me. I heard you talking about it.
I have to show it to you. But they've got, when you walk in their baseball stadium, just this huge bear.
Yeah.
And Trey's about probably 5'8", 5'9". So, you got to get a picture with that bear.
Right.
So that was fantastic. We had a great trip, though,
to
Baylor.
Is that who you're rooting for this Saturday in the Big 12 championship?
I think so. I do. I mean, they should have beaten him in the regular season game.
Had the 25-point lead.
You know, what this reminds the Georgia LSU in 03, we should have won the regular season game. And a lot of people are picking us that LSU just crushed us in the title games. I would probably lean towards Oklahoma Saturday.
Right. I think it'd still be a good game, though.
I do, too.
Yeah.
But Matt Rhule has done a tremendous job there. But when you're talking about surprises, I think for negative surprises, listen, Florida State and Arkansas were both awful last year. I think for Washington, kind of with Jacob Eason.
Yep. I agree.
I get it. He was a freshman transfer. He has had five lost seasons for Kirby Smart and Chris Peterson.
Yeah.
Florida State, was it a surprise? You thought maybe they'd be a little bit better. Texas to go 7-5 after beating Oklahoma and Georgia last year.
Not back.
They might be the most disappointing team. We kind of thought Michigan State would bounce back this year.
They're definitely on the downward trend.
Nebraska, I wasn't as high on Nebraska, but I thought, yeah, they'd get to 7-5. Tough year for them.
Yep. On the positive notes, North Carolina getting to bowl eligibility, period, I think shocked a lot of people.
For sure. I mean, you think they beat South Carolina and almost beat Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And also, tip of the cap, my friend Scott and Brenda went to school there. The Appalachian State Mountaineers beat both North and South Carolina. They're the best team in North Carolina. There ain't no debating that. And they're the second best team in the Carolinas.
That's right. And, outside of a tough loss on the road to Georgia Southern, they pretty much handled their business this year.
They did. They sure did.
They're ranked.
Should be.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a great race to see who that group of six team is that goes. Like, if Memphis beats Navy, you would think Memphis would get it. But, I mean, if Navy wins, well, I mean, their losses then would have been to Memphis in the regular season and Notre Dame. If App State wins, they go 12-1. Again, they beat an ACC and an SEC team. Boise, that'll be a good race for that group.
It's Memphis and Cincinnati for the AAC this weekend.
Memphis and Cincinnati,
because they
right.
played last weekend to determine who was going to get home field advantage.
So, did they both have one loss?
Well, Cincinnati has two now, one to Ohio State and one to Memphis last week.
So, if Cincinnati beat Memphis, could Navy jump Cincinnati if App State lost? You know, that's just one of those. And that's a good call, by the way. That was my mistake, because I think Memphis and – that's one of those deals. Memphis, Navy, SMU, and Cincinnati are on the top 25.
Yes.
But Memphis, Navy, and SMU are on the same side
of
the
Americans. Yeah, that's a loaded side.
So Cincinnati – although Central Florida's on Cincinnati's side, but Cincinnati had the better draw.
Okay. The AAC
so probably doubtful for Navy to get
the
in
The AAC was loaded this year.
It's a great conference. I mean, the top of it – I mean, the top of the – I get it. Yeah. After Clemson, the American was
way better than the ACC.
No debate about it.
So if there was never an argument for a Power Six, this would be the year.
Now, yeah, the top of that league was really good. You throw in App State in there, too. That was good stuff.
Absolutely. All right, so the SEC Championship game has been around since 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia made its first appearance 2002.
That's right. Yes, 2002. Gone in 92, but yeah.
So, and Georgia's made several appearances since then. But in the era of the SEC Championship game, who are between 3 and 5 Georgia players among the best that never got to play in this game, in your opinion?
Ooh. Well, I think that 92 team, we should have gone. We were better than Florida and Tennessee, but we lost to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So just on that team alone, you're talking about Eric Zier, Garrison Hurst, Randall Godfrey. That was a national championship caliber team.
Yes.
And so that's certainly where I would go. Then certainly you get to not getting there. Marino, A.J. Green.
Stafford.
Matthew Stafford. Unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
unacceptable.
Hindsight's 20/20. You look at the amount of talent we had on that team. It's just crazy to think what we didn't do with it.
I can tell you some foresight. I thought you could have made the case to make the coaching move after the 2008 season, and that you had the first quarterback taken, the first running back taken, another excellent receiver in Muhammad Masquite, and eventual I could never remember if AJ or Julio went first, but whatever. You know, you got
it was
all-time great.
It was AJ, because I remember this, because the Falcons had the next pick after the Bengals, I firmly believe they traded up to get AJ Green, but he was taking one pick before Julio.
So the point, and my take on that was, okay, we were preseason number one.
Yes.
We got blown out by Florida and Alabama.
Yes.
And lost to Tech. And by the way, we went through, there was a five-quarter period there between the second half of the Florida game, the first half of the Bama game, and the third quarter of the Tech game. We got outscored by those three teams 92-7. And I was like, if you're not even going to get to Atlanta with that bunch.
Yeah.
Now, we did make it back twice, and we all know what almost happened in 2012.
Yep.
That's why, again, and then we were no good in 09 and 10.
No.
And it almost, it was 50-50. I mean, I can just tell you this with, you know, again, tangenting here, that with Coach Rick, it was 50-50 after that, whatever that was, Liberty Bowl or Independence Bowl.
10-6
that we lost
UCF.
To UCF.
Yep.
It was 50-50 that day, but a lot of stuff had happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Greg had just become athletic director, and,
right.
You know, I think Dr. Adams was retiring. There was a lot going on there. And I'm not saying Georgia should or shouldn't have at that point, because everything worked out great with
course,
the timing
of
Kirby got in. But that was – and it started with that blackout part, too, against Alabama here. That season was a downturn, and and my take on it, too, is like, well, we're losing all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that was one – if you're in the pros, you'd say thanks for all you did, but I think that would have been a time to cut bait. And then sure enough, that the problem with that, too – the rest of Coach Rick's tenure here, and I love Mark Rick, but the rest of his tenure here, that 2012 season was the outlier.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And remember, we started off the 2011 season with back-to-back losses to Boise State
and
South Carolina. It's like, what is this team going to end up being? Are we even going to make a bowl game this year?
We played a horrible schedule that year.
Mm-hmm.
The four ranked teams we played, we lost, because Florida stunk that year.
Yep.
Auburn stunk that year. Tech stunk that year. Tennessee was not good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's always going to look good in the media, because that was also one of those only at Georgia. We had a 10-game winning streak in a season. We beat Florida, Auburn, Tech, and Tennessee, and wound up with four losses.
Yep.
Like, how? That's one, if somebody gave you that, it's like, that can't be mathematically. Well, yeah, you lost the first two and the last two. Like,
to a Kurt Cousins-led Michigan State team in the Outback Bowl.
That was a game, too, where we, all three of these things – had a 16-0 lead, had the ball up by 7 with under 5 minutes to go, and had the ball in overtime after they missed the opportunity to score in overtime.
Yep.
Had all three of those things in the same game and lost.
Yep.
Not good. That 08 season was an enormous disappointment. So, yeah, when you talk about guys that didn't play, I think that group from the 92 team and that the Stafford Marino, that bunch there.
Right. Absolutely. That's the 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.